Again, good morning. I'm thankful for the music team. Thank you, Crystal, for leading today. Pastor Aaron is out. We are going to begin a four-week sermon series about the story of redemption. And as the staff, we prayed about it. Pastor Aaron said, I've got just the song for that day right before you preach, an incredible song about Jerusalem. I don't know about anybody else, but I have been watching a lot of basketball recently. He said, Pastor, don't bring up something that happened in the past. I won't. But I've watched a lot of basketball. And a phrase that's often used about the men's collegiate tournament, the road to the Final Four begins here, is a common commercial phrase. Considering Easter, the road to redemption, the road to the cross, begins here in Jerusalem. Now, if you have a copy of God's Word, turn with me to the Gospel of Luke. We read previously this morning in the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to read in Luke. We'll go back to Matthew, and then we're going to go to John. You say, Pastor, that's too much. We got them on the screens. That way you don't have to flip. But it's kind of like an old-fashioned sword drill. Anybody remember those? Not by that response, you don't. I guess I'm on my own on Sunday night discipleship classes. But we want to trace the story of redemption from Jerusalem to the thief, to the cross, to the tomb. And today we're going to look at Jerusalem. Luke chapter 9, just a few verses from this chapter. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent his messengers ahead of him, who went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make preparations for him. But the people did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. I'm going to show you in 4 points, biblically, why Jerusalem is important to the redemption story. And the first, Jerusalem is the focus. It says in the text that Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem. So why is Jerusalem important in the story of redemption? Because Jerusalem is the focus. Understanding Jesus and what we have in the gospel example, Jesus ministered in that known area in many communities. Jerusalem is the focus, but he ministered in Galilee, which is a lower income area. There's not educated guys there. In fact, that's where he called the majority of his disciples from Galilee. He ministered in fishing villages. He ministered at the hillside. Jesus went many places, and he did many miraculous things. He healed people on the Sabbath day, which was taboo against the law. He performed exorcisms. He resurrected people. And the most Baptist miracle he ever did was the feeding of the thousands. You say, John the Baptist was the origins of the Baptist church. Well, maybe so, but the Baptist church we see on the hillside eating. Jesus did a lot of stuff in a lot of places. But it says in Scripture, his face is set toward Jerusalem. Now, on the road to Jerusalem, there's a village of Samaritans, which Luke describes this the best, about Jesus being the Savior, how the outcasts could come to him, the women who were second-class citizens, those that were disenfranchised or disinherited from society, they could come to Jesus. So it says Jesus sends his disciples to the Samaritan village ahead of him. I believe he's going to reside there for some time. Typically in the first century with the believers, they would go and stay a place and serve. And the people of that area would be hospitable and receive them. So Jesus sends his guys ahead. He gives them a credit card, and they want to reserve a room for Jesus Christ. Maybe 1, 2 nights, we don't know. And they say, our rabbi wants to stay here just for a little while, not long term, because we've got to go on to Jerusalem. This is a short-term visit. They said, no. We're Samaritans. We don't tolerate you Jews. You don't tolerate us. Why? if he cares so much about Jerusalem, he should just go to Jerusalem. And they reject him. So the big perplexion of these verses, why does this village even matter? Well, in a sense, in the scope of things, it shows us how much Jesus is ready to get to Jerusalem. The Samaritan village is not the focus. Jerusalem is. Now, they flat out rejected Jesus because of his Jewish heritage and because Jerusalem, that's a city of Jews. Why does this matter? Jerusalem is the focus. There's setbacks and rejection on the way, but that's not enough to stop the Lord Jesus. Jerusalem is the focus. The goal is not the Samaritan village. The goal is Golgotha. The cross is the end game. Everything in creation wants salvation, not the village. Years ago, my wife planned a trip to Disney World for my kids and myself. I was not included in the planning process. At the time, I thought my wife, she said, you know what, I'll take care of it. You don't need to know about it. I was like, oh, that's so nice. That's so loving of you. Today's our anniversary. She did that so I wouldn't know how much it costs, by the way. So any of you men, if your wife slips that in on you, like, no, pastor said, we got to watch out for you. And so we planned it out. We had reservations for this resort, and we drove for many hours. And on the way to Orlando, we stopped in Tallahassee, Florida. We stopped at the greatest, world-famous Steak and Shake known unto man. Or at least that's what my kids thought. They were younger. We're like, hey, this is great, Steak and Shake. We can even get ice cream. Now, the end game for us was to go see Mickey Mouse. Like, we're going to Orlando. We're not stopping in Tallahassee. As much as some of you may like Tallahassee, as near and dear as that may be to your heart, that's not where we wanted to be. We wanted to go on and make our arrangements, make our plans come to fruition. Think of it this way. Jesus saying, hey, this is great. Of all these places, all these healings, all these miracles, even the Samaritan village, even the rejection and setbacks, that's okay. I'm going to the cross. Jerusalem is my focus. Now turn over a few pages to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, in verse 31, beginning there. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you. And he said to them, go and tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today. And tomorrow and the third day I finish my course. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. Behold, your house is forsaken, and I tell you, you will not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now, Jerusalem is the focus. The second reason we want to focus on Jerusalem, or to hone in on that, number two, this city has a reputation. As Jesus is traveling onward to Jerusalem, or upward to Jerusalem, if you will, the Pharisees, who are the religious right-wing zealots of the known world, they warn Jesus. Jesus, you better watch out. Herod said he's going to kill you. Like that's going to stop Jesus. You better watch out. He says, you go and tell that fox about all the miracles I'm doing, the things that are going on in my ministry, and I'm going to come up there, and in 3 days, I accomplish my goal. He still moves onward. Even though Jesus sufficiently knows what's going to happen, he knows what's at stake if he goes into Jerusalem. And he utters an ultimate question many have is never settled. He says, the prophets, they don't die outside of Jerusalem. It's Jerusalem that kills them. In fact, those sent to it, those are the ones that die. Is he talking about Zechariah from the Old Testament? There's an allusion to a forward speaking or forward prophesying of Stephen in the book of Acts. We don't really know, but we know what he's the absolute in that statement is Jerusalem, not the prophets, not the martyrdoms. The absolute, the concrete evidence in that statement is Jerusalem. That's the constant. Jerusalem is a rough place. You say, Pastor, that's not what I learned in Sunday school on the flannel graph. That's not the way I picture it. It's rough. Jesus said, that's the city that kills its prophets. The ones sent to it, they're the ones that are martyred. They're stoned. It's a rough area. It's a hard place to be. That's where Herod's at. That's where the Pharisees love to be. That city has a bad reputation. Years ago, I went to a state meeting. Just so you know, I don't like to go to state convention business meetings. I tolerate those. The main reason I go to these meetings is because I like free stuff. Just last fall, we went to a For the Church conference at Midwestern. International Mission Board had a booth set up. They said, sir, if you will pray for our missionaries, we will give you this shirt. I said, I'm already praying for you. Give me that shirt. You're already on my prayer list, so give me that. And so I like free stuff. But one of the other reasons I go is to make connections, connect people that can help our church with resources. And one year I went, we needed some prayer partners, some avenues for our church people to pray. And so there were some church planners at the convention, and I thought, I'm going to meet these guys, and I'm going to have resources for our people to pray for them on the mission field in North American Mission Board convention planners. And so I met a guy, and I was like, our church is looking for church planners we can pray for. Tell me about yourself, and tell me where you're at. And he said, well, here's all this information. I'm planning a church in Detroit, Michigan. Now, if you know anything about Detroit, a lot of crime, a lot of poverty. One of the big issues, as I estimate it, is Detroit has an issue of abandonment. They abandon neighborhoods, families abandon children. It's just a huge issue. So I was like, man, we are praying for you. I still get emails from him about praying for his church plant in Detroit, Michigan. And so I was like, I need one more church planter, one more church plant to pray for. And so I was in a line. They had a pastor's prayer meeting. They said, if you come to this meeting, we will give you a free Chick-fil-A box lunch. Guess who signed up? I did. And I'm in line. I thought, I need to meet another church planter. And Michael walks up and says, hey, I'm a church planner with the North American Mission Board. I'm looking for some churches to pray for me. I'm like, good, Michael. I'm praying for Larry in Detroit. Can you top Detroit? He says, yeah. I'm planning a church in Las Vegas. I said, man, God worked this out for me. We were talking about Vegas. He says, don't refer to it as Las Vegas. Call it the city of lost wages. If you know Vegas, you know the heartache, a lot of exaltation of sin in that area, a lot of brokenness. But in brokenness, there's a lot of opportunity for God to do a great work. Now, both of those cities, Detroit, Vegas, before I even describe them, you know about them, don't you? Because they got a reputation. Before Jesus ever goes to Jerusalem, that city has a reputation. Ooh, Jerusalem? Now, we romanticize it. We think about the architecture, the Herodian temple, the aqueducts. We think of all these great things, the cobblestone. But yet, that city has a bad reputation. And Jesus even laments over it. He says, oh, Jerusalem, I wish I could bring you in my loving, protective embrace, but you wouldn't have it. And Jerusalem is the focus. And number two, the city with a reputation. I turn over to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 16. We're getting closer and closer to the cross. And it says in Scripture, Matthew 16, starting in verse 21, from that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me. For you're not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." The city is the focus, Jerusalem, a city of a reputation. And number three, traveling towards it brings suffering, death, and resurrection. Traveling to the city is the promise of suffering, death, and resurrection. In fact, Jesus says to his disciples, when we go to Jerusalem, I'm going to suffer. I'm going to be handed over to the chief priests, scribes, elders. I'm going to suffer, I'm going to die, and I'll be resurrected. That's not what the disciples wanted to hear. They think, we got our rabbi, he does miracles, he can teach with authority. We're going to go to Jerusalem, and we're going to start a political revolution, political upheaval. Down with Herod, down with Rome, up with Jesus and us, the disciples. They think, oh man, if we go to Jerusalem, man, today's the day. Things change. It's not just political upheaval, overthrowing the religious establishment. I mean, previously the Pharisees act like they're in control. The chief priests, let me remind you, are all corrupt. And they don't want that. They want genuine worshipers. So if we go to Jerusalem, the disciples think, hey, Jesus, overthrow the political system, kick out the religious establishment for the common man. But that, let me remind you, that has nothing to do in the plan of redemption. Even today, redemption is not found in politics and the religious establishment. Let me remind you that. Jesus said, if we go to Jerusalem, it's going to cost me dearly. Who's the first one to speak, the last one to think? Peter. Far be it. Lord, this will not happen on my watch. In other words, he's saying, Jesus, as long as I'm alive, I got your back. I'm your disciple. You're my rabbi. Jesus, I got you. This is not going to happen. You will not go to Jerusalem. This will not. And Jesus says, whoa, hold up. You don't sound like my friend. You sound like my enemy. In fact, those words, those aren't from the Son of God. That's something Satan would say. Get behind me. You're not doing the work of God. You see, if Satan can keep Jesus out of Jerusalem, he keeps him from the hill of Golgotha. If he keeps him from Golgotha, he keeps him from the cross. The plan of redemption would be broken. And Jesus says, no. I willingly go to suffer, to die, and to be resurrected, all for the glory of my Father. Now, in Matthew chapter 20, he reminds them, Matthew chapter 20, verse 17 through 19, he reminds them of what happens in Jerusalem. And as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside, and on the way he said to them, see, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles to be mocked, flogged, and crucified, and he'll be raised on the third day. He promises it, he prophesies it, and then he reminds them. Guys, Jerusalem is not the city everyone makes it out to be. It's got a bad reputation, and I know what happens when I go there. It's all a part of the plan. This is part of the story. This is the turmoil before you see the hero sacrifice himself. This is the conflict we've got to get through. But we can't have the glory of Easter without suffering, death, and resurrection. And go over, if you will, to the Gospel of John, the fourth chapter. John chapter 4, the very familiar passage of Scripture about Jesus and the woman at the well. This is not typically an Easter text, but in that there's the mention of Jerusalem. In John chapter 4, starting in verse 19, the woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know. For salvation is from the Jews, but the hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know the Messiah is coming. He was called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Jerusalem is the focus, the city with a reputation, the city that promises suffering, death, and resurrection. But ultimately, point number four, something greater, something bigger, something more majestic than Jerusalem is here. Jesus interacts with this woman at the well, which is very taboo of society. And she brings up the issue of worship. So, hey, on this mountain, which is a reference to the Old Testament, but you say, Jesus, that in Jerusalem is where we got to worship. Now, I don't recall Jesus ever saying, hey, you got to go to Jerusalem to worship. But there's this understanding, this undercurrent of thought. Man, the real worshipers, they go to Jerusalem. Those who are really spiritual, they're in the holy city. Isn't that where we have to go worship? If we want to get right with God, to Jerusalem? There's an understanding in many religions to get closer to God or get closer to the deity, you've got to go to a specific place. Now, to some, to those that follow Islam, you've got to go to Mecca. You got a pilgrimage. To Mormons, Salt Lake City, Temple Square. To the Jews, it's Jerusalem. Oh, if we could just get there, we'll get closer to God. Maybe on this mountain or maybe Jerusalem, we just got to get closer to him. It's the place that will get us closer. And Jesus said, you're very mistaken. It's not the place that gets you closer to God, it's the person. And in fact, he says, I'm the one you're looking for. I'm the Messiah. I'm the one that's chosen, anointed of God, to bring redemption to Israel. I am he who speaks to you. Not a place, not Mecca, not even the Holy Land or the Holy City. It's only the person Jesus who can bring you to God. Jesus says, when I go to Jerusalem, I'm going to be handed over to the enemy. And they think that my arrest, my trial, mocking, flogging, and even death can stop me. In fact, that's a part of my plan. And I know when I go to Jerusalem, that will happen. But listen, on that third day, I'm coming back. Where do you stand in regards to Jesus Christ? Do you have redemption? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? You see, the way we do that, the way we begin that story is in Jerusalem, but the way you begin your story with Christ is faith and repentance. Acts 20, verses 20 and 21, how I kept back nothing from you, but I taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. It's that simple. If you believe in your heart, Romans 10 says, if you believe in your heart and confess that truth with your mouth, God promises you'll be redeemed, you'll be set free, you'll be ransomed from the enemy. Maybe you've made that great decision of faith, personal faith. But maybe there's other decisions you haven't made yet in that story of your personal story, like baptism, that telling the world that you're a Christian, or membership of the church where you become a part of a church family. Those are decisions to make. I want to encourage you. Make those decisions today if God's calling you to. You say, Pastor, I've done all those things, but I got something heavy on my heart. I got a situation I want to pray about. I got something that's going on I need encouragement for. If that's you, in just a moment, I'll be down front and we'll have a time of invitation or time of response. If you just want to pray over something or someone, come speak to me. I'd love to pray with you. Even after the service is over, I'll be around to speak with you. Whatever God is calling you to do, do that today as we celebrate the story of redemption. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the beginning of this small series as we look and trace redemption. Father, thank you for all the information, all the leading that you give us through your word about that story. And Father, the cross, it happens through Golgotha, that happens through Jerusalem. And may we see the heart of Christ, that he longs to save a people, to willingly gather them together to you. Father, for those who need to make a decision today, whether they're in person or listening online, may they take a step of faith. And Father, for those who are hurting, those who are weary, may they find rest and peace in you today. Father, I pray that you'd meet with us and bless us. We ask your blessing on our time. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.